The Redwood Empire Pedalcast is brought to you by Bike Monkey. Bike Monkey is one of the nation's leading event producers. They have brought world-class experiences to more than 100,000 people in their 12-year history and have raised more than $2.5 million for local nonprofits. They have been the City of Santa Rosa's largest local sponsor of the Amgen Tour of California and have caused more than $18 million to be contributed to Sonoma County through visitor spending. There's a reason why people keep coming back. They're the best.
And by Trailhouse. Built in the shadow of Sonoma County's famed Annandale State Park, Trailhouse is a place to hang your bike, have a coffee or beer, hang with friends, and decompress post-ride.
Hello and welcome to the Redwood Empire Pedalcast. I'm Patrick Brady, the publisher of Red Kite Prayer and the Paceline Podcast. And with me is my co-host Jake Bayless of REMBA, the Redwood Empire Mountain Bike Alliance. You can find the Pedalcast on Red Kite Prayer, where we post our show notes and links to the stuff we talk about in these episodes. You can also find us in our own feed on iTunes, as well as SoundCloud and Google Music. Do us a favor and leave us a review or a comment in our show notes. Good reviews are especially helpful in how we appear in search results on iTunes. And we are the only podcast in the universe devoted to cycling in Northern California. So, I don't know, that's got to be worth at least one star, right?
It's worth anyway, something.
So, yeah. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, Patrick. I'm a little tired. You know, if I miss any of your jokes, you're going to have to cue me. My brain is fried. I got up early this morning and went abalone diving for the first time this season. And so I am sore. It turns out having a little bit of bicycle fitness does not translate to diving in the ocean.
those core muscle thingies?
Yeah, no. I was climbing out of the ocean after having been in for maybe a half an hour, and my calves were cramping up. How does that happen?
I wouldn't know, actually. It's been a little while since I've been in the ocean. Yeah. I mostly get close to it with a bike.
Well, today was beautiful. Today, the ocean was relatively flat. The visibility wasn't great, but, you know, I could float on the top and see down about 8 or 10 feet and kind of pick where I was going to go and look for abalone. And I got my limit. And you know, I just love swimming in the ocean. It's fantastic. It's very much like being in a zone on a bicycle. Yeah. For whatever that's worth. How about you? What have you been up to?
I'm just trying to settle back into normal life. I was away for a week at press camp in Park City. And, you know, frankly, it's nice to be back home and sleeping in my own bed. Playing with the boys. Yeah.
That's the truth. So,
I've managed to get in rides with each Mini Shred and the Deuce on their own. Haven't done any rides with the two of them since I've been back, but they've each gotten their own time with me, and so that's been nice. And I'm almost embarrassed to admit that other than a couple of brief rides at press camp on bikes with drop bars, I really haven't been riding on the road in the last 2 weeks. I don't know. There's been a lot of gravel time and a lot of mountain bike time lately.
Well, you might have heard that there was this little itty bitty heat wave that came through while you were out of town. Yeah.
It started before I left. So yeah, I'm clear on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That put a damper on things. Although I know there were a lot of evening rides that were had up to, in our neck of the woods, up to Lake Il San Joe for that evening ride and swim that were pretty epic.
Yeah, the pictures from that look pretty nice. You know, those scum rides that the boys do, and girls, those look like a pretty good time. I got to figure out a way to drag my boys out for that.
Yeah, I get pretty severe fear of missing out when I start to see pictures like that, but I'm with you.
Yeah, the danger of Facebook.
Totally.
Yeah. So where have you been riding lately?
You know, I got a tour. I actually met a gentleman who lives half-time up in the Sea Ranch, up in very, very far northwest Sonoma County. And yesterday, I managed to get a guided tour of some of the trails, most of which were bike legal up in the Sea Ranch. And it was fantastic. I was flabbergasted. There were a lot of shorter than some of the trails that you're used to, perhaps up like in Casper and Jackson State Forest. But same ambiance, same sort of flowy, swoopy, redwood gilded trails that were just a blast to ride in. So I'm pretty happy about that. I think I might luck out and get to do a road bike commute to and from Santa Rosa this week too, if luck holds out.
Oh, that's nice. Excellent. Right. Well, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
you know, one of the bikes that I got to ride while I was away is a brand new Aero road bike from 3T. You know, Gerard Vroomen is one of the former founders, or was one of the founders, of Cervelo. And at the point that he left Cervelo, he said he was done with Aero road bikes. You know, he'd kind of said all he had to say on that. And lo and behold, he's out of the game for a couple of years and doing other stuff. And suddenly it's like, oh, wait, no, I can do a much smarter Aero road bike. And so they showed off a new bike at press camp called the Strata. And, you know, it takes up to, with the right rim, up to a 30 millimeter tire, with a wide rim, 28. It's one by, they've got a really intelligent rear cassette on it. And it's one of these bikes that, you know, it's like the first Aero road bike that I look at and I go, you know, I could ride all over Sonoma County on that thing. Even with our beat up roads, it's like, I think I could actually have both an Aero road bike and a good time in Sonoma County.
Wow. Yeah. So did it make you feel fast?
Oh yeah. I mean, you always pick up when someone really does a great Aero road bike, you'll notice, because your ability to accelerate from, say, 18 to 22 or 23 miles an hour, there's a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And this bike, you know, it didn't feel like your average Aero road bike, in that most of them kind of feel like blocks of wood and they give up something in terms of stiffness. And this just felt like a really normal road frame out on the road. It's a really impressive piece of work. And that was, you know, pretty typical of everything we saw while we were at press camp. I mean, Pivot was there with their new Mach 5.5, and that thing, we took the lifts up to the very top of the mountain and then rode all the way down to Midway, 18 miles away.
Oh.
And this is mostly a descent. You know, like there were those of us who were pulling over periodically just to shake out our hands because we've been descending for so long.
That's you know? When you know you're in the zone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really something. Very dusty, even dustier than it is here. But, man, it was such good riding, and Pivot is just doing such great work right now. So
we saw an awful lot of cool stuff. I've seen some of the pictures of that bike. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah. And even the new Mach 4, I rode, they're doing two versions of that. One that's a little longer travel, like 130 front, 120 rear, and then the traditional cross-country version, which is just 100 front and rear. And I rode that one on, you know, some of the trails up there in Deer Valley, and was amazed at how well it handled, you know, some pretty rocky, bumpy terrain. Not necessarily the bike I want to own, but, you know, certainly way more capable than you would think for a bike of that sort. Yeah,
cool.
Just so much cool stuff. But
hey, I got a question for you, actually.
Yeah.
No, two questions. I have two questions. Maybe we can fold these in a little bit. For the folks, including me, who aren't totally familiar with what press camp is, in a few sentences, can you explain what it is? And tell me whether you at press camp had an opportunity to touch or otherwise ride one of the new Specialized Diverges, because those seem to be popping up all over the place in Sonoma County, and I'd like to learn more.
Yeah. So Press Camp is a media event where the organizer brings together a bunch of different bike industry companies. And it's a typical sort of trade show type thing, but it's for the press exclusively. So it was 18 different companies this year. Specialized was not one of the companies. They've never come to this. And what we do is we have 40 minutes to sit down and talk with, you know, the marketing director or head of sales or CEO, whoever happens to be there during the presentation. Very often, like with Pivot, you know, I sat there and I talked one-on-one with Chris Kokalis himself. So these are really dynamite presentations and interactions. Brad Waldron, you know, the CEO for Kali Protectives, you know, I sat there and talked with him. And so this isn't just, I mean, they'll frequently put together a nice PowerPoint to walk you through, but it's not just some, you know, lackey who is, you know, making some presentation, trying to convince you that their Kool-Aid tastes okay. These are really in-depth conversations. And unlike Interbike, where, you know, we can be interrupted by, you know, a dealer who wants to know, well, what's the suggested retail on this? Or when do you start shipping this bike or whatever? You know, there are no interruptions in these presentations. It's just an honest one-on-one conversation. Sometimes there'll be another journalist in there and you kind of tag team it. But they're really, you know, it's a really great event and they're really rewarding interactions. I love this event and have been going for, 6 years now?
Something fascinating. Is it something that happens just at the transition to spring-summer, or does it happen more than once a year?
There are two of them now. Originally, there was just the one in June, but there's now also a winter press camp, and that's held down in Westlake Village, and it's exclusively road products now. It used to be they kind of made both of them road and mountain. Now, winter press camp is strictly road, whereas summer press camp is, you know, come one, come all. Yeah.
Fascinating. That sounds like a good time. I look forward to reading about it on RKP.
I've got so much content coming out of that. It's sort of overwhelming. And so many things. Like, you know, there are a lot of times I go to this and it's like, I'll see something cool, but I won't be that desperate to review it. And, you know, like, okay, here's my two paragraphs on this. It's cool. Check it out if that's the sort of thing you're looking for. This time, there was just one thing after another. Like, you know, there are some new pads from G-Form that are really, really cool. Actually, there are a couple of different new series of pads from them. And that's become something on my mind, taking Mini Shred to the skate park and getting, shall we say, a little more aggressive inside Annadel. And, you know, yeah, a couple of new road bikes, you know, some new mountain bikes. There was this English light company there that, you know, had just the most incredible lights, certainly the smartest lights I've ever seen, you know, so there's going to be coverage of that. Yeah, it's 3 days of presentations, and by the end of it, you're just done. And fortunately, we do get some time to ride. I went for one longer road ride, got to ride the new Factor 02, which was just mind-blowingly good, and then did some other shorter rides on other bikes where I knew I needed to kind of turn stuff around quickly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a little bit of lift serve mountain biking because I can't pedal uphill at 9,000 feet.
Well, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of lights, I wanted to mention something that I think is super-duper cool that I don't know actually is how easy to acquire at this point, but hopefully it's going to improve if it's not available. I found a Kickstarter quite some time ago. I want to say it was about a year ago for these bike lights. I think I might have mentioned it to you. Four individual bike lights. Three of them are red. One of them is white. You mount them to your chainstay, your seat, your backpack for the red ones, and then your handlebars for the white one, and they're synchronized. They blink at a fast rate, a slow rate, high power, low power, and they're all synchronized perfectly, which to me is the panacea of bike lights, to be able to have something that's lightweight, small, but makes you look massive to cars that are coming behind you at dusk or at dark, right? So these are made by Arsenal Cycling. You can find it on Kickstarter. I encourage, you know, everybody listening, go Google it and look at it. If you can't find these lights, look for something like this. This is this is fantastic. I'm super happy with them. I got them a couple of weeks ago in the mail, and they're amazing.
Yeah, I'm supposed to get a chance to review them sometime coming up. So the guy behind Arsenal is Tom Prenn.
Right.
A former multiple national champion back in the 80s. He's still a very, very badass Masters racer. He has not lost the competitive bug. He was the general manager and product manager and eight different things for Cat Eye Cycling for a billion years. So every time they came out with another great bike computer, he was largely responsible for it. I mean, there were certainly engineers he was working with, but he led those efforts. He's now out on his own. Arsenal is his company. The intent is to have proper production of these lights so that you'll be able to find them online and in bike shops. You know, this isn't a one and done sort of, well, we're going to give this a try thing. This is him starting a new company, you know, with a more bootstrap approach. And yeah, I saw the lights at Interbike. They're really well done. And I think the big thing here is, you know, not just that they're synchronized, but it's the same rhythm. It's not, they're not flashing in sequence, but it, whatever rhythm you choose for one light, the other lights all adopt that rhythm. So right. What that helps do is create a kind of a bigger footprint of an image. It's easier to discern the cyclist's form by having multiple lights that are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not just this blinky Christmas tree approach, which doesn't help to inform a driver of the form ahead. So
it's
a really well done thing. It's really solid electronics. You know, he knows Asia. He knows where to find good factories for producing this stuff. And so I've got every confidence that this is really dynamite stuff. I can't wait to have a chance to check it out myself.
Well, I'll have to bring them to town when I come in and you can borrow mine. They're pretty rad, I think.
Very cool. Well, nice to hear you've got this, man.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about these bike lights. Yep. I've been thinking about, I mean, Patrick, hardly a day goes by that I don't read another, pardon my French, damn article about somebody getting hit from behind on a bike. It's happening all the time. And, you know, maybe it's just because we're connected to the digital world. We see it, we hear about it, and these things are in the fore, whereas before they were kind of something that wasn't in our, you know, in our cognitive mind. Every time I'm driving on my car, I always see people who are riding their bicycles without any lights, or maybe they have, you know, sort of as an afterthought, a little blinky red light, you know. I just don't understand why it isn't a much higher priority for most of the people who I know and love to put a super bright strobe on the back of their bike. Like, be seen, for goodness sakes, please. And so, you know, I just want to talk about it. I think it's something that, you know, you and I, we're kind of holding a megaphone when we're doing this pedal cast. And if anybody comes away having listened to it, you know, hopefully they've laughed or had, you know, learned something that they didn't know. But please, if you, please put a bright strobe light on your bicycle day and night when you're riding, so that you don't become the next article that I read about. I'm sick of it. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Yes. Having finished your rant, I completely understand. And it makes a lot of sense. Oh, boy. Yeah. So when last we recorded, we were talking a little bit about a park here in Santa Rosa, Kiwanis Springs. You said that there was a proposal, or that people were proposing that in the next plan for the park and how it gets built out, that maybe this was a location for pump track number 2 in Santa Rosa. I think you said that there's been another meeting since then. If so, how'd that go?
Right. This is super exciting. This last weekend, there was another meeting of the community facilitated by the city of Santa Rosa to say, here's this draft we've got. We took your feedback. What do you think of draft number 2? Turns out draft number 2 has a pump track in it. So as it currently stands, Kiwanis Springs Community Park over in sort of southwest, southeast, just behind Costco and Santa Rosa Avenue, at the foot of Taylor Mountain, will have a pump track in it. And so that's like off the charts. I can't believe that this is happening. Another one. Here we go. Santa Rosa's hooked up with the pump track paradigm, right?
Yeah.
It's thrilling.
Yeah. It's absolutely remarkable. Very encouraging. Now, okay, so now we have a little squiggle denoting a pump track in this plan. What sort of timeline, say everything goes perfectly, what sort of timeline are we on for getting this thing built?
That's a great question. I think that ultimately what it comes down to is Santa Rosa has funding for this park, right? The community around it that was developed years ago, that literally, I think we're talking a decade or so ago now, all of the fees for a community park were paid when that development was put in place. And so the city has had a nest egg for this park sitting in the bank since then. There's been quite a bit of turmoil, sort of administrative, governmental turmoil in the Recreation and Parks Department at the city of Santa Rosa, and even a couple of changes in the city manager in that time. And now I think finally that department has got the stability and the wherewithal to tackle this master planning process. So this isn't just a squiggle on a map. This is a park master plan. This is something that after this new round of community feedback is going to go to Santa Rosa City Council for their final approval. And these kinds of things usually go through lickety-split because the city has done its diligence in getting the community feedback that it needs. And so it's going to go. And I'm sure that probably pressing the go button is going to be based on when the next construction window opens up. And I think it probably will close in October or November of this year and then open back up next spring. So if they can get this through city council, say by September or October, there's a super remote possibility that they might be able to do some groundbreaking if the weather holds in October and November. But more likely, I think it's realistic to expect that come the end of the rains next spring, they'll be breaking ground on it, and we might be able to get a pump track in there then.
Wow. Wow, that's really cool.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about pump tracks that I want to mention, too, is that this isn't just about Santa Rosa. They're kind of popping up all over the place. REMBA, several of the board members from REMBA are currently having some very early discussions on putting in a paved pump track in the town of Sonoma. And that looks like that's going to keep chugging forward, too. So it's thrilling to see that this is something that finally is catching on. The ability to have families, go to a park and play on bicycles, do skills progression. I'm over the moon. It's super exciting to me.
Yeah, it's some of the most fun that I have with my boys is going out to our pump track. So I'm completely sold.
Yep.
Yeah.
So for anybody listening, there are a lot of people far and wide who are listening to this. If you think your community needs a pump track in one of your parks, whether it's developed or not, if you can identify an area that would be more well served by putting a little, a bobcat tractor in there and stirring up some dirt and making some mounds and inviting the neighborhood out, get in touch with us, especially in Sonoma Lake and Napa counties. Get in touch with the board from REMBA so that we can start asking for that and rallying the troops behind that. If you're outside of the REMBA land, find your local club and do the same thing with them, because it seems that not only are these inexpensive amenities to install in parks, they're super popular and they build communities. Kids and families of all ages and all backgrounds are out there. Bikes are cheap. Despite what naysayers may say when they, drive around town and see zillion-dollar road bikes, no, pump track bikes are cheap. Anybody can get a pump track bike. And if anybody can't, there are organizations that are around to help with that. So
right.
That's my other soapbox, I guess, today.
Very cool. And I think it's worth noting that this is becoming – there's a paradigm here now. Because there are three of them in and around the Santa Cruz area,
yep,
as well as ours. I believe there's one, what was it, Oaklandish or somewhere East Bayish. So this is something that's starting to happen. You know, we're not the only one in Northern California. And, you know, I think as municipalities see this succeeding and, you know, drawing people to parks, you know, who might not have visited those parks otherwise, I think that's going to cause more and more municipalities to say, well, maybe we should build one.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's such the right thing to do. It's so healthy. It's so fun. It's so engaging and invigorating and a natural progression to get people to adopt cycling as a lifetime fun, you know, exercise. I can't think of anything better. Now, Santa Cruz, are you ready to talk about the other goings on down in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so, lay it on me.
Well, Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz, which is arguably one of the most interesting and motivated of the various advocacy organizations in Northern California, has a new trail building initiative. Now, these were the folks responsible for the Emma McCrary Trail a few years back, and I contributed to that. This effort is called Anti Up for Trails. And one of the really cool things is, like when the EMT was built, Ibis has ponied up a fully outfitted bike. You can pick one of several different models, and you know they're going to do a drawing out of all the people who ante up for trails. And this is really cool. And in the second half of our show, I'll be interviewing Ibis President Tom Morgan about the whole effort.
That sounds fantastic. So they're going to be giving away an Ibis, any Ibis of your choosing.
Yeah, he gets into it more. But yeah, it's reasonably unrestricted. So very cool. I mean, you know, everybody ought to plunk down at least a 5 spot, even if you only get down there once a year.
Right, right. Well, count me in.
Yeah, I'm in as well. So... all right, so we're going to break for a few words from sponsors, and then we will be back with our interview with Tom Morgan of Ibis.
Bike Monkey is excited to announce that its popular Annadel cross-country mountain bike race will be taken in a new direction this year. Instead of a one-day cross-country, this year it will be a multi-day event, and one of the days will take in the well-known Annadel course. Stay tuned for more details about this, which will be coming in a few short weeks. And coming up on September 24th is Stettina's Sierra Prospect, an event sponsored by Trek Segafredo Pro Pete Stettina and held at the edge of the blue Lake Tahoe. It features two routes: the Express, which is 40 miles and 3,600 feet of climbing, and the Intrepid, which is 98 miles and includes 9,700 feet of uphill. The event uses Bike Monkey's road rally format and includes 5 timed sections, one of which will be 11 miles of the daunting 16-mile climb up Mount Rose. There will be a variety of events over the course of the weekend, including a coffee ride, a VIP dinner, and of course, the awards ceremony. For more information, visit bikemonkey.net.
And by the Trail House, cycling is an amazing outlet. It can be used to clear your head and bring you back to earth after a long day or week. Races can elevate you to the highest highs or the lowest lows. Rides bring people together that normally wouldn't ever interact. Rides also allow you to connect with places you live or visit on a level that brings a higher appreciation of these places. This is our community. People from all walks of life coming together because of the bicycle and cycling. Trail House is our hangout, a place with excellent coffee, amazing craft beer, and simple eats. Trail House exists to bring cyclists, bikes, coffee, food, and beer under one roof. Find Trail House in the shadow of Annadel State Park at 4036 Montgomery Ave in Santa Rosa. They are open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., except on Friday and Saturday when they're open till 11 p.m.
You can find them on the web at trailhousesantarosa.com, as well as Instagram and Facebook at Trailhouse Santa Rosa. I'm here with Tom Morgan, president of Ibis Cycles, and they just announced another drawing for an Ibis, and the benefits of those donations will go to Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz. Tom, tell us a little bit about this effort.
Well, basically, Ibis has supported various trail advocacy groups like Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz and the Sierra Butte Trail Stewardship and the Greater Oak Ridge Trail Alliance up in Oak Ridge for a number of years now. And this is specifically, we're raffling off your choice of complete Ibis bike. It's supported by ourselves, as well as with some support on the suspension from Fox and drivetrain from Shimano. So basically any bike in our lineup, and it's a complete bike, and $5 gets you a right to claim that you built a portion of one of the trails that we're working on here in Santa Cruz. And, you know, as a bonus, you can win one of our bikes.
That's pretty cool. Now, where is the new trail being cut?
There's a number of projects that Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz have on the board right now. And so, you know, recently, I think it was 3 years ago now, they finished the Emma McCrary Trail, which was a multi-use trail through Poconip, which is a city park here in Santa Cruz.
Right.
And that was the first new trail to be built legally in Santa Cruz in decades, literally. And it went through what had been an open space that was underutilized and had been sort of taken over for illegal activity. And so not only did it create this great connector from the Henry Cal open space or Henry Cal State Park and the UCSC Preserve and Harvey West, which is a neighborhood here in Santa Cruz. It also sort of brought regular law-abiding folks into an area that had been sort of taken over by a crime element and sort of moved them out. And so Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz is working with the City Council of Santa Cruz and the Parks and Recs Department to propose a number of new trails through Poconip. Some of these will be multi-use trails, but one of the big projects that we're looking at is a mountain bike specific trail that would go from, for those who are familiar with the area, the top of the Yukon Trail down to the Highway 9 area. And so that's something that we're really looking forward to. There's also, you know, the success of projects like the Emma McCrary Trail, the Flow Trail in the Soquel Demonstration Forest, mm-hmm. And the Enchanted Loop reroute in Wilder Ranch State Park that Mountain Bikers Santa Cruz has funded, designed, and constructed all of these projects has given the group credibility that so that land managers are now coming to them with new projects, including several new projects on the board for Wilder Ranch, which is pretty amazing because the state parks previously had not been supporters of mountain bike trails in their land areas. And so this is a big change. Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz also works extensively with the City of Santa Cruz on a number of pump tracks. I would be remiss if I gave the exact number, but there's a at least three different pump tracks across Santa Cruz. And these are great because they bring in people of like kind of all ages. You've got tons of little kids who use the West Side pump track, and there's a new pump track constructed by Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz and Harvey West as well. That's a little bit more advanced, but still it's this stepping stone of trying to bring, you know, younger people into the sport and give them something as an alternative activity to just screen time.
Wow. That's pretty cool. We've got a pump track up here in Santa Rosa that I've been taking my boys to, and I just love it. It's such a great way to be able to spend time, you know, with other cyclists who have, shall we say, a disparity in ability. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. You know, the first time I crossed paths with Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz and, you know, one of these drawings that you're doing was the building of Emma McCrary. And so the first time I got to visit and, you know, ride that trail after having, you know, donated some money to it, it was like, I gave money for this? Oh, dude, I didn't give nearly enough. you know, I almost sort of felt guilty. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to make sure word gets out about this, because the quality of the Emma McCrary Trail, I adore that little trail, man. I really do. And so anytime somebody's going to make the effort to create a multi-use trail that is still, you know, yeah, it's not mountain bike specific, but it makes for just such great mountain biking. I think that's a pretty nice model for the future.
For sure. And you know, the Emma McCrary Trail, like this past winter, you know, all of us in Northern California experienced that we had one of the wettest winters in history around here. And a large number of the trails that we normally ride here were just not accessible for months. And Emma McCrary was amazing because the guys did such a great job in the design and construction of that trail that outside of, you know, riding in the middle of a rainstorm, it held up really well. You know, and the drainage was designed well, the gradient was designed well. So, you know, you have this durable trail, sustainable trail, as we like to say. And you know, that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of education, and a group like Mountain Bikers Santa Cruz has that in a way that even the state parks departments and the parks and recs departments for the city don't have. And so that's a huge, huge step forward for everyone.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting education for me to see, you know, how, you know, people talk about, you know, well, you got to make sure it's this sort of slope and you got to make sure it drains this way. And, you know, I grew up riding, you know, old game trails and whatnot, stuff that had been around for ages. And, you know, in New England, that stuff got swampy, you know, in the spring and dried out in the summer. And so I didn't really have much experience seeing, you know, what happened if you made the effort to really build a good quality trail. And that's a really fine example of, no, this is why it matters. This is why it's possible. This is why it's necessary. So, yeah, I really...
It's also a great, you know, sort of build it and they will come kind of model. It's been amazing. Yeah, it's been amazing the number of people who now use that trail on a weekly basis. But then, you know, another Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz project, the Flow Trail in the SoCal Demonstration Forest is also really amazing. I've been riding at the SoCal Demonstration Forest for almost 30 years. And it's always been a place that was open to mountain bikers and had just some incredible trails. But it's fairly remote and hard to get to for people who are not kind of in the immediate area.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a need to reroute one of the sort of main classic trails in the demonstration forest. And Cal Fire reached out to Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz and gave them the opportunity to work with them to reroute this trail. And that was the source of the Flow Trail. And, you know, that was one of our previous raffles. So we've done a raffle for the McCrary Trail. We've done one. We did one for the Flow Trail. And, you know, we're now raising money for these future projects. And, you know, we don't have a specific project earmarked now because there's so many good opportunities coming up. I haven't even gotten into the work that they're doing with the San Vicente Redwoods and the Catani Coast Dairies project just up the coast from us, which is going to be almost 17,000 acres of open space that will be accessible to mountain bikes in
Holy
a few
cow.
Years. So, yeah. So, but the Flow Trail is amazing because now when I go up there, you know, you see people who come from all over the Bay Area and farther having heard about that trail, you know, partially maybe from the publicity that we got for it when we raised the funds to construct it. But you know, the people come and you know, they go to just do that trail. And I'm a little bit blown away that they don't check out all the other stuff there. But still, it's amazing the power that has. And, you know, the area of Santa Cruz has got this reputation as being kind of a center for the mountain bike industry, at the very least, you know, with us and Santa Cruz Bicycles and Fox being so close by and,
sure.
and Specialized and so on and so forth. And so, but you know, the dirty little secret has been that most of the trails that we're famous for are bootleg trails that are technically illegal. And, you know, so it's been impossible for the city to try to promote mountain biking in the area because, one, they don't control most of the open space that where the mountain bike trails are. And two, they can't really promote something that is essentially an illegal activity. And so all these projects are going to enhance what we have going on here in Santa Cruz in terms of a mountain bike community. But it will also, you know, with these trails being better constructed, better designed, there'll be fewer user conflicts, there'll be less erosion, there'll be less impact on the environment. So it's kind of, you know, the classic win-win situation.
Wow. Very cool. Man. Well, I look forward to hearing more about how this goes. And, you know, I'll be checking back in, certainly with the guys at Mountain Bikers of Santa Cruz. And, you know, hopefully once something's completed, I'll have the chance to get down there and ride.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this is a pretty interesting program they've got going. You know, it's like Tom said, it's pretty unrestricted. You can pick a Mojo 3, a Ripley LS, or a Mojo HD4, any color. It comes with Fox suspension, Ibis carbon wheels, and any of the various build kits that they offer. I mean, it's like, you know, total dream bike stuff. There are a couple of rules, you know, you've got to claim the bike within 30 days if you're drawn. Winner assumes all the risks and responsibility for the delivery of the bike. It's not terribly complicated, but man, this is such a great way to see new trail built. And it's the sort of effort that, you know, I think other organizations would do well to follow. You know, there are, Ibis is not the only Northern California mountain bike company. So,
right.
Maybe
and
it's
Ibis
time we
probably
start.
Also might have a few more bikes, you know, in the closet. At least that's what I'm thinking. I'm listening to this and thinking to myself, I ascribe to the Copy and Steal Everything Foundation of nonprofit organizations. This is exactly what more of us need to be doing. Right.
Well, I think what we ought to be doing is reaching out to Marin, and Specialized and, you know, a whole host of other companies. You know, IBIS has done a great job. They're in Santa Cruz, except for Scott Nickel. And so, you know, this is an effort that's close to their heart because it's close to home.
Right.
But, you know, Marin is just down the road in Novato, and it looks like they may move a little further north here. And, you know, why not get them wrangled into an effort of this sort?
Now, wait a minute. You just dropped a little bit of a hint of some knowledge of something. Spill it. Might move a little bit further north.
I'm aware that that leases only last so long.
Ah, got it. Okay, so Marin may be looking for a new HQ, and we probably have to leave it at that, don't we?
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right.
So, but yeah, I think there are some other companies that we could get. Get to step up for these sorts of efforts. And I think this is a really great model, you know, on which to model or base other efforts. So, you know, a really good example that they're doing here. And I mean, considering just how wonderful a trail the Emma McCrary is, I have every confidence. And this is one of those things that, you know, as Tom mentioned, you know, they haven't really picked a specific site or a particular effort for where this money goes. It's just going to go toward building new trails. So, you know, once they get started with this, it's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I think it's a great way for an organization to raise a pool of money for a particular task. And, you know, as a mountain bike organization guy myself, I can't think of a better task than funneling money into building trails. And so that's fantastic.
Yeah. I got to get out West County for some more mountain biking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, alrighty. Well, that's going to take care of us for another week of the Pedalcast. Whether you get us at RKP, iTunes, or wherever, we hope you'll leave us a review. And please keep listening. For Jake Bayless, I'm Patrick Brady. Thanks for listening.